7. This is a fact here. Indisputable fact. No man can put up an argument against this fact that the Lord reigneth. And that's the reason why he says, let the earth rejoice. If there was some force without personality that reigned, we would have no reason to rejoice. But the Lord reigneth. God reigneth. That is, He rules. And there's no limit to His right to rule. Says our Lord Jesus said to His small following, those 11 disciples, He said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto Me. All power. Not only in heaven, but in earth. He reigns. Power. Infinite power. Power. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of the islands be glad thereof. Cloud and darkness are round about Him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of His throne. The establishment of His throne. A fire goeth before Him and burneth up His enemies round about. His lightnings enlightened the world, and the earth saw and trembled. The hills melt like wax at the presence of the Lord. At the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens declare His righteousness, and all the people see His glory. Confounded be all they that serve graven images. That boast themselves of idols. Worship Him, all ye gods. Zion heard and was glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoiced because of Thy judgment, O Lord. For Thou, Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods that are called gods, graven images, and idols that are called gods. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. He preserveth the soul of His saints. That's what we was talking about this morning, wasn't it? He preserveth the soul of His saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for righteousness, for thee righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness, at the remembrance of who He is. Holy, holy, holy art Thou, Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy. Holy God and a holy people. Holiness begets holiness. We ought to be holy. Holy in word, holy in thought, with me for a few minutes here this evening to chapter 6 of the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Paul, in this sixth chapter, begins it by admonishing the saints of God at Corinth, the brethren, those who comprise the body of the Lord Jesus. He's the head. There is body. And he tells them here, first off, he reminds them, he said, dare any of you, that is, does any of you have the audacity, having a matter against one another, go to the law before the unjust and not before the saints? Although the apostle certainly was a man who believed strongly in giving allegiance to those that have the rule over us, yet he recognized the infallibility or the fallibility of righteous judgment in courts of law. He said, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints. Know ye not that the saints shall judge the world? That's an overwhelming fact, isn't it? The saints shall judge the world. I don't know all there is to know about that. I just know it's so. Wouldn't be here if it wasn't so, would it? Saints going to judge the world. Some area, some aspect, or ignorant people like you and I, been redeemed by His blood, going to have that worthy, high honor, setting in on judgment of somebody. Saints shall judge the world. And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? That's little things that are insignificant to that which is deemed important. Know ye not that we shall judge angels? Judge angels, judge the world. How much more? Things that pertain to this life. If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, if you've got problems that needs to be, things that needs to be exposed, things that needs to be aired out, things that needs to be settled, things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. Them do the ruling. Them arrive at the solution to the problem. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goeth to the law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now this chapter is devoted mostly to the sins of the flesh. Primarily fornication and adultery. But this must be a sin here too. To go before the courts of law, the unjust, not before the saints, to settle a problem. Now, therefore, there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law one with another. Why don't you just take the heat? Why do you not just rather take wrong? Why don't you just suffer yourself to be defrauded? Nay, you do wrong and defraud, and that's your brethren. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators or idolaters or adulterers. Now, that which, you know, is a common thing practiced in our day, in our society. You know, there's no sacredness in regard to the marriage vows. Move in. Just move in. Just say you're married and you're married. Join yourself to whatever you want to do. But he says here, don't be deceived now. Fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, thieves, or covetousness, drunkards, revilers, or extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Some of you folks out there in the church of Corinth, he said, such were some of you. But he said, you're washed. You're washed. Washed in the blood of the crucified one. Must be awful precious blood. I mean, the blood must be awfully precious. Must be of inestimable value to wash poor sinners and make them clean. Such were some of you, but you're washed and you're sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Now, as I said in this chapter, the Apostle Paul here is dealing with the sins of the flesh primarily, fornication and adultery. And if you'll notice, in the words of Paul, under the direction of the Spirit, that he takes the strictest care to keep the language guarded. These are not things that you talk about in every public meeting, fornication and adultery. So he takes, under the direction of the Spirit of God, the strictest consideration and care to keep the language guarded, so that while denouncing these detestable evils, fornication and adultery, while he's doing that, he does not give any indication or lean in the direction that he would put his brand of approval upon it. He don't promote it in any way, denounces it, at the same time doesn't give any indication of promoting fornication and adultery. He tells us what filthy things these are. He tells us up here in the middle part of this chapter, the last part of this chapter. He says in verse 14, and God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Members of his body, fitly framed, joined, together. Members of the body of Christ. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of an harlot? And that's what takes place if that happens. Paul says, God forbid, do anything like that. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? Man that joins himself to a harlot is one body. For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. They're one. But he that is joined unto the Lord is of one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, when he is dealing with the sins of the flesh in this chapter, he's urging the hearers to holiness. And this is the... Here lies the motive that he uses to urge the people unto holiness. He says, and ye are not your own. Remember, you don't belong to yourself. You're not your own. If you're a believer in Christ Jesus, and he presupposes that these that he's writing to, for the most part, are believers in the Lord Jesus. Such were some of you, but you're washed and you're sanctified and you're justified. So you're not your own. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, in light of the fact that you're not your own and you're bought with a price, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. That's the exhortation and the motive for the exhortation, to urge us to give ourselves over to Him, body, soul, and spirit. He tells us here that the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and the temple of the Holy Spirit ought not to be profaned, and it will be profaned if, like he says, the member, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them a member of a harlot? God forbid. Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. Tells us what filthy things the sin of fornication, adultery. Now, Paul, above all other writers in the New Testament, speaks more positive about salvation by grace alone than the others do. More positive. More emphatic. Says more about it than the rest of the writers, I believe. Anyhow, that's my thinking. And he makes it very clear that salvation is not by works, lest any man should boast. But at the same time, he urgently admonishes and exhorts men and women unto holiness, unto doing what's right. Just do what's right. One said, well, what should I do? Obey God. Just obey God. There's no other way. Just obey God. Listen. He denounces those who would emphasize the theme, let us do evil that good might come. No, he says, ye are bought with a price. And the best rendering of that expression is this: ye were bought with a price. Ye were, such were some of you. Ye were bought with a price. This is a common expression to signify that the purchase was expensive. Ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. That the purchase was expensive. Huh? Ye were bought implies a price. But the words that's added to that, ye are bought, ye were bought, the words added to it says, with a price. And it's added to show that it was not for nothing that ye were purchased. What did purchase us? Over here in the book of 1 Peter is a commentary on what is it that purchases a man's soul? What is it? This is a commentary. Peter tells us the answer to the question. Anyone who wants to know anything about the purchase price does not need to talk to me. All he has to do is turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. He says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, your conversation indicates your ignorance to this that you received and got by tradition. Listen, verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ. Precious blood of Christ. As of a lamb without blemish and without spot. What is this purchase price? You are not your own. You don't belong to yourself. You are bought. You are bought with a price. What was that price? Precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish, without spot, who verily was foreordained. Foreordained. I remember asking me a question one time about ordination. They said, if we rescind your ordination, what will you do? Well, I said, it depends on who ordained me. If your ordination is of you, it makes no difference. But if the ordination comes from God, then you can't do nothing about it. Is that right? Ordained. Foreordained. Before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by Him do believe in God, that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. That's the commentary. You're bought with a price. That price is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That the blood of Christ was shed to purchase, to buy our souls from death and hell is a, and I don't know whether this is a word or not, Barbara, that the blood of Christ was shed. I've read, said it was, precious blood of Christ, was shed to purchase, to buy our souls from death and hell. That is a wonderment. That's the word. A wonderment of compassion which fills even the angels with awe and amazement. The blood. We can talk about it with dry eyes, can't we? We can talk about it without emotion. And it ought not to be. Our eyes ought to be wet. And our emotions ought to be high when we talk about this. The purchase price was His precious blood. Delivered us from death and hell, the flames of hell. That's so. What meant this purchasing us with blood? What's involved there? Most of you know. Huh? It signifies pain. Pain. Have any of you, and I know you have, maybe all of you, have you ever suffered acutely, extensively? Have you ever really suffered pain? If you have really suffered pain acutely and extensively, then you know as you suffered at that time, you know to some degree what He's talking about when it says He must suffer. The shedding of His blood signifies pain, suffering, suffering, suffering. Some of us can't get over a headache. We weep and moan. We can't go to work. We can't do this, we can't do that, I got a headache. I'm talking about P-A-I and pain. Pain, pain, pain. What was the price which He paid? It's pain. His bodily pains were great, there's no doubt about that. He hung on a tree. They whipped Him, scourged Him. Whipped Him like a dog. The back was lacerated. Blood matted on His back. Thorns pierced His brow. Crown of thorns put it on His head. Mocked Him. Laughed at Him. If you be the Son of God, come down. You saved others. See if He can save Himself. He hung right there, didn't He? But you glad He didn't come down? you glad he didn't save himself? Huh? Listen, his bodily pains were great. His hands and his feet were pierced with iron spikes, nails. And these nails have bound to go through the tenderest of nerves. What pain that is. I had a pain in the back one time, in my neck. And the doctor, I went to several chiropractors, doctors. They just thought that settle down, take an aspirin, you'll be all right. I've tried all that. And I said, I got no rest day or night. I can't sleep. Hurts. I said, I have to raise my hand up and take the pressure off of wherever that is in order to get a little comfort. And that soon passes away. And I finally went up to 100, I believe it was, to a chiropractor. And he told me, he said, you got a pinched nerve. And he put his finger on my back. Just in a certain place in my back, and he started going up my back like that. And I could feel the nerve. Now, will you believe this or not, but it's so. You know, I wouldn't lie to you. And I wouldn't exaggerate. When he put his finger on that nerve, it just kept jumping like that all the way up my back. That nerve. I know it was a nerve. Something matter with the nerve there. And it pained me. But it wouldn't be nothing to have a nail driven through your hands or your feet and hit the tenderest nerves of your body. That's acute pain. That's agony. That's suffering. Now, he had great pain in his bodily suffering, his hands and his feet, these nails, but his soul pains were far greater than his bodily pains, because his heart, the Bible says in one of the Psalms, it says his heart melted like wax. Think of the pain he suffered. The pain that he suffered was equivalent to or for the pain that we ought to have suffered. What I'm saying is, redeemed by the blood, purchased by the blood. It has to do with pain. Insurmountable pain. He suffered this pain, and what we must have suffered had we endured the punishment for the guilt and shame that belonged to us in the flames of hell. He endured that for me and for you, if you're a believer. But listen to this. Pain alone cannot redeem us from the penalty due us. Oh no. He must die. He must die. The corn of wheat must fall into the ground and die. Huh? He must die. He must suffer. He must bleed. And he must die. Pain alone could not redeem us. It was by death that the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, paid the ransom. Death is a word of horror. It's a word that scares ungodly men, unregenerate men, unbelieving men and women and boys and girls. They don't want someone to look them in the eye and talk about death. It scares them. Listen. But as his death was the substitute for the death of the ungodly, he who knew no sin was made a curse for us. And even while he was making atonement
on our behalf. Even God denied him his presence. God, the Father, who loved him. Oh, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Never anything in his life, word, thought, or deed that wasn't in perfect harmony and unity with the will and purpose of the Father in heaven. But God the Father spoke no words of comfort to the Son of his bosom, to the Son of his love. Oh, he's paying the price. He's paying the price of our redemption. He must suffer and he must die. And that he did. And his death was attended by an unusual darkness. There was a darkness that came all over the land. And the earth began to shake and the mountains, the rocks of the mountains began to move. Unusual time there. Just like the only begotten of the Father, the Son of his love, the darling of his bosom. Oh, they said over there in the book of Psalms, described him, described he has eyes like a dove, peaceful, sweet dove. His eyes are like a dove. He's like a dove. And goes on, and describes him. And you know how he sums it up? At the end of his description of the blessed Son of God, he says this, and this is all that a man can say when he finds all the adjectives, puts them together. This is what he says. He is altogether lovely. Now you think of him who is altogether lovely. He bowed his head in agony and gave up. Our Lord Jesus Christ. Bought with a price. Bought with a price. Oh, what a stupendous and infinite price that was paid. His life laid down, the shedding of his blood, that we might be redeemed. This is Paul's plea to us here for to urge us on to be like him. To seek his face, to do right, act right, talk right, think right, be right, to glorify him. That's not asking too much in light of the price that was paid, is it? Ain't asking too much. Give yourself to him unreservedly, wholeheartedly, body, soul, mind, and spirit. Spirit unto him. Glorify God. Paul urges people to do that who are bought with a price. Listen, this fact, and it's a fact, ye are not your own, ye were bought with a price. That's a fact. This fact is the most important one in all your history. That you were redeemed. And the price was his blood. That's the most important thing in all your history. If someone was to write your history, they'd probably say, Jim Wilson, well, he was a book salesman. And he was a school teacher. And he was a sanitarian in the county of Marion. He was a husband of one wife. He had two boys and one daughter. And he is a loving father. And all these things. But they probably wouldn't say,
The most important fact about Jim Wilson is that he was redeemed by the blood of Christ. See, that's the most important thing about you, Jim. That's the most important thing about me. Redeemed with a price, a purchase price. Who did it? God Himself will become a man. God who become a man, and as a man, suffered and shed His blood, suffered pain and agony for me. Bought with a price. Your connection with Calvary is the most important thing about you. Ain't nothing else carries more weight than that with God. Huh? Bought with a price. Will be the most important fact in your future existence. Bought with a price. Bought with a price. What do they sing in heaven? Do you know what they sing in heaven? Listen. They selected the most noble topic as they went through their memories, these angels, and they come up with this theme. The theme of heaven is redemption by blood. Listen, in the whole range of their memories, they found this theme. And this is what they sing about. They said, "Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood." That's what they sing about. Most important thing in heaven, redemption by blood. Most important thing in your biography. Most important thing in your history. Most important thing in the future of your existence, redeemed by blood. Nothing else will count. When you and I reach the upper realm, when that time comes when we depart from this body, and it will come, when that time comes when we reach the outer realms of glory, stand there. Our most important memory will not be that I was rich or that I was poor in this life, or the fact that I was very sick and died, but the most important fact will be you're bought with a price. You're bought. You're not your own. Bought with a price. Now, you either were or you were not. Now, speaking to all of us, you either bought with a price or you're not bought. What will it be? If you're bought with a price, all's well. If you're not bought, then whatever the opposite of all's well is yours. Whatever that is. Oh, listen. If you're bought with a price, if so, let the truth of it operate, dominate your body, your mind, your soul, and your spirit. Let this truth of who redeemed you and how you was redeemed, let that govern your body. I'll guarantee you, if that governs your body, you'll never be joined to a harlot. You won't be if that governs. You're not your own. You don't belong to yourself to satisfy your own lust. Let it be said of you when you die that you, a man or woman, that you was filled with love for Him who bought you with a price. Your heart was filled with adoration. And the outflow of your love was seen among your neighbors and your family and your friends. love for Him who bought you with a price. If you're bought, then you're not your own. If you're bought, then every limb on your frame belongs to Him. Every limb, every finger, every toe, every hair in your head belongs to Him. You don't belong. It doesn't belong to yourself. You got no right. Satisfy your own passions, delights, and desires. You got no right to it. You don't belong to yourself. You belong to Him. Give ourselves to Him, that when we come to die, we may feel like, at least I've lived for something. Wouldn't that be something? At least I've lived in this life for something. And that something is somebody. Is that man who left the glory of heaven and became poor. He was rich, but he became poor for my sake. Redeemed me with his precious blood. God help us to think on these things. This stand will be dismissed.